Verulam Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcast. And this week, myself and the team have been debating, dissecting and analysing the role of technology and its place in sport. To take that just to a slightly different level and a little bit more focus, we're very lucky to be joined again by St Albans' own European Pro Tour golf referee. It's the wonderful Gary Tate. Welcome, Gary. How are you?
Tony, hey, hello. I'm fine. Thank you. And yourself?
Doing very well, very well indeed. I do acknowledge and respect that it's very challenging times, etc., etc. But being a very simple man, Gary, when the sun shines, as a sun worshipper, I've got a beaming smile on my face. So there we go.
Well, it hasn't been too bad, the weather, for the last 10 weeks, and not many of us have been able to do what we want to do, but it's certainly been beautiful for working on the tan, and sport has probably been something been really missing.
Absolutely. That's why we're here at Verulam Sports, to kind of fill that vacuum at this moment in time. And talking vacuums, obviously, that is essentially a bit of technology. And we're now going to talk about the role of tech in golf. Gary, you know me, I'm a dinosaur. I wouldn't want to go all the way back when, to kind of the 19th century and kind of, you know, unwieldy clubs, basically literally woods, and, you know, the kind of feather-based balls. I just don't think we can set the clock back. But I am a little skeptic, as a purist, to put it in a slightly nicer phrase, as one who looked at the artistry of, for instance, a Seve Ballesteros. I just fear that the tech in the advancements in both the ball and the club these days means that some of that artistry is being sacrificed for just big booming drives, negating almost some of the human skill in the game. Am I being a little bit over the top there?
No, I mean, you've quoted nearly chapter and verse one of the sort of conclusions that the RNA and USGA, you know, the governing body across the world, have done a recent survey, the insight into distance, and one of the fundamental outcomes was that it's making the game easier to play, as the range of shots that you might be required to play, or the distance of the shots, but actually the range of shots is making the game much easier from a longer drive.
Well, I mean, one of those things that astonished me, I was watching a YouTube kind of doc, and I know there's one that you want to highlight in this chat, but it was actually specifically about the ball and the evolution of the ball. And one of the things that was observed, and I also acknowledge not necessarily the tech, but the science of sport and the post-Tiger Woods era, everybody is so fitness or tuned, and that's a good thing. But for goodness sake, Bernard Langer in his 50s is driving the ball longer than when he was in his 30s. And to me, that just feels a bit weird and a little bit odd. And again, are we only going to see this trend continue, drivers getting further, or do you think there will be some kind of reaction against this?
Well, I say that report, the conclusions were that they would like to look at a sort of a constraint on the distances. But I mean, the distances have eked up gradually. You know, I've got some stats here that'll say there wasn't much happening until the feathers inside the golf ball got taken away. And then the next thing would be the titanium drivers that we all use nowadays. And now it might be the fitness of the golfers that move things on. But some of the stats, I mean, the driving distances I've got from historical times, you know, 278 yards in the 30s to the 90s, and then up to the 90s, up to 286 average. And now, sort of, you know, we hear of Rory McIlroy hitting it 325 yards with a three wood. So, you know, it is getting that way, but it's been a slow progression, quite a lot in recent years. And something that the RNA and the USGA, who do govern the game at every level, tour pros or amateurs like ourselves, they govern it, and they're very aware of it, and they're they'd like to do something to make the courses of nowadays more challenging and more suitable going forward for a game they want to grow.
I mean, one of the things that springs to my mind was when Bubba Watson, when he claimed, I think, his second green jacket at Augusta, I think maybe 2014, made a mockery almost of the legendary 14th hole. Kind of commentators were a bit confused. They thought for one second it was just, you know, what on earth's happening here? It's going to be, you know, way just drawing massively into the trees. But he overshot the trees and kind of just went an absolute mammoth. And, you know, then it was just a simple up and down job. And Bubba Watson is a great, great multi-time major winner. But he's, in terms of physique, he's no Tiger Woods. And again, I would say that I think subsequently they then moved the tee back on that very hole. So I guess there is this challenge that everybody at the higher echelons is facing of how to manage the courses given the access to technology and the driver that is so readily available these days.
Yeah, I mean he's an interesting guy. I mean he's a big guy with an unusual technique, but I mean he can move the golf ball. He's got some traditional old fashioned skills in there, so it's still in there. But he is also a very, very long hitter, and he is, so like John Daly, can hit some golf shots that you know, even some of the other tour pros would be absolutely amazed at, some really, you know, incredible shots. But certainly a thing. I mean, you take a course like Augusta, which is very, very tricky and very, very quirky and got lots of nuances and not based around length at all and no rough and stuff. And it is very, very, very tricky in a very different way to a monster course like a 7,700-yard Abu Dhabi Golf Club where the European Tour play. And the guys still shoot 22 under sometimes in perfect conditions. And again, the conditions of the course as the years have gone on could be a massive factor. You know, you've got beautifully cut grass, the ball could be rolling further on the fairways. You've got all sorts of, not contributing to just the scoring, but I mean the length the ball goes. When it hits the ground back in 1930 and the grass had been cut to an inch, that's what the rough's like, or the first cut's like at Augusta, whereas you're cutting a fairway on the European Tour to 11 millimetres, and that can cause a ball to roll another 25 to 30 yards.
Now, you're making some really fascinating points there. Just coming back to kind of this relationship between the spectator quality of sports and golf, of course, and, you know, making it as challenging as possible, particularly for the pros and the elites of the world. Again, we've discussed briefly the evolution of the ball itself. It started out, I guess, with feathers, and then it kind of evolved, and there's almost this hybrid Titleist one, which seems to be amongst the favourites amongst the pros these days. Is there anything that's been mooted in terms of restricting the ball or evolving the ball to kind of circumvent this trend towards humongous driving?
Yeah, I mean, it's often been mentioned, and especially in recent times. I mean, when I started playing, the ball was a certain size. You had two different sizes balls. You had a 1.62 inch and a 1.68 inch, and the smaller ball went a little bit further and obviously didn't get messed up too much by the wind. So when it became just the one size ball, that was kind of thought to be it. But at the same sort of time, and not long after, the golf ball changed from being, oh, you said feathers. I mean, a top hat full of feathers used to fill the inside of an old gutty percher ball, and God knows when. And then it went to an elasticated wound ball with a rubber inside. And now we've got this three-piece, two-piece hybrid ball, of which even Titleist Stoll Callaway make two versions, a high spin and a low spin. So you pick that to choose to suit your type of play, and that can increase the distance. But something like the weight of the ball is obviously a big factor. So, I mean, a simple lightening of the golf ball would just cause it to interact more with the air, and it would struggle to go so far. I think we're into political and legal issues. If a big manufacturer like the Titleist company didn't like the impact of the governing body wanting to do that, it would possibly end up in the courts. And I think a lot of the big companies, and I think everyone, wouldn't like to have two sorts of equipment, you know, like a Formula One car and a street car versus a Tour Pros ball and clubs and what we can buy, because a big selling point of the Tour is the best players in the world using their equipment and it trickling down into the marketplace for the amateur golfers at the club.
Now, again, this is just our world, and it comes with its pros and its cons, and it's far be it for me to kind of dictate or kind of give my two pennies there. Ultimately, the world of commerce and business and sport have long ago become bedfellows across all manner of sport. And again, there are many, many myriad positives for that, as well as potentially the slightly murkier side of things. But again, another crucial piece of tech, of course, is, you know, obviously players aren't willing the ball on with the power of their mind, although the mind is so crucial in the game of golf. I love the psychology of it. I'm talking, of course, it all happens through the club. And again, so many evolutions, so many changes. But you shared a really fascinating video, which I'm really intrigued to get your take on, about the, was it the swingless driver? I mean, surely that's an oxymoron. What's this all about?
No, that's just that just came to us and all that. I mean, yeah, that's a little gimmick. I think it's going to cost you $1,000 plus to have. But the day that comes when you can't get around the golf course, it's basically a gas-powered golf club-shaped device that projects the golf ball forward without you having to make a swing out. You just place this thing behind the ball, and through the physics of a gas-powered canister, like a gun, it shoots the golf ball like a bullet anywhere from 50 to 200 yards. And say for those who are not as physically capable and who still want to enjoy a walk in a golf course, why not?
No, honestly, like I say, to each their own. I think, you know, my mind is befuddled, but, you know, this is 2020, people, and why not? Why not?
Everything's possible. If you go up to the RNA who run things, they've got a test. They test every single club that comes to the market. Obviously, that wouldn't be deemed to be legal, but they've got a huge cavern of stuff that's been sent to them and been tested. Any size, shape, concept ever, and if it doesn't conform to their guidelines and doesn't play within their sort of margins of error, whether it's a ball or whether it's a club, it doesn't get to market and gets no approval. So they've probably seen everything, but that's just a little one that came through to me on social media, which I thought you'd quite like on the back of this.
Seriously, Gary, I tell you what, it made me, I don't know what the expression is, but I certainly pulled an expression when I was viewing that. Moving things on. What do you think in terms of this relationship between tech, ball, club, et cetera, and the likes of sort of a Sevi type player? Do you think there are some people of the game right now who are still artists doing their thing? And who should we maybe keep a beady eye on as and when, touching wood, everything gets back to quote-unquote the new normal?
Well, no, I think, I mean, Sevi's a good example. I mean, he wasn't exactly consistent, and that's certainly what golf is becoming. Consistency is becoming the new norm. He was an incredible player, but he did get himself into trouble. And he had amazing shot-making capabilities, probably out of necessity, and the way he'd learned the game. The guys who are learning the game now are learning a totally different game. They're being brought up on these metal woods and hybrid balls, and shaping the golf ball is not as much of an option. The coaching that they're receiving, the techniques are so different, and that just allows them to hit, you know, deadpan, flat-out bombers all the time and big stuff, and their distance control is measured by, you know, using yardage books and TrackMan technology, which measures the spin rate and all this sort of stuff. Their games are honed in a different way now, and they're athletes, and they've all got a lot of science behind them. And back in the day of Sevi, sheer ability, technical raw ability, shone out more. And so maybe it's a little bit more hidden now. I mean, there's still some good shot makers, and they can still play some good games of golf. But as far as a sort of Sevi of now, that's a difficult one.
They're few and far between, aren't they? These kind of rare, gifted genius type mavericks, I suppose. But there we go.
I mean, to watch Bubba Watson hit a golf ball, I've watched him in Ryder Cup matches hit a golf ball. I mean, he can move it all sorts of directions. They say that shot he played at Augusta was unbelievable, and he's got some serious game. But he can move a golf ball around, and his action is not very classical. But he's pretty special as a striker of a golf ball.
Final quick point then, in terms of tech, I'm really quite intrigued to get your take on this, because again, it has its immense positives, but there are obviously a lot of potential negatives about social media. We love a tweet at Verum Sport. We encourage you to keep involved and tweet us at Verum Sport with all your sports related opinions, particularly on anything to do with sport and tech this very week. But of course, you get these trolls amongst us, don't you? These people who've, quite frankly, nothing better to do with their life than sit on their computers and hurl vitriol at people. What's your quick take on golf and social media and its ability to both engage a new audience, but again, obviously that potential kind of negative audience feedback, so to speak?
Well, I think social media is an incredible thing that we've all, well, I certainly wasn't brought up with, but I think it's very positive for the business I work in. I think it's a tremendous thing for the public to be able to connect to a professional golfer who plays on tour. I mean, that's an individual golfer who can advertise himself, he can advertise his sponsors, he can advertise his own tournaments, he can advertise the tour he plays on and what he's up to, and he can connect to golfers. And it's, it makes you feel very close to a famous person at a tweet. So some of the political stuff might be more sort of worthy of talking about not being the right thing, and I'm sure getting a snipe back from a famous tour pro about a bad shot he's played is everyone's dream as a troll. But as a concept, I think it's absolutely superb for sportsmen and famous people in the world, yeah, because it allows them to promote themselves and be close to their audience, really.
No, absolutely. And, you know, again, we do encourage you, the listener, to get involved with us here. Tweet at Verum Sport, all your opinions, anything sports related. We always love to hear from you. And Gary, I've got to tell you, I've loved this conversation. It's been great to speak with you after a little while. Fingers crossed that it will be a back to normal job and we can analyse the remaining majors of the year. But for now, for tonight, thank you ever so much for your time and company. And as always, I wish you every continued joy and success.
Tony, thank you very much indeed. And to everyone at Verulam, thank you very much for listening. Keep listening. Keep watching the Saints. EuropeanTour.com is the website. We're going to be back soon. And let's hope we have a safe and golfing summer.